Yashoda Nandana Bhajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Yashodanandana Bhajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira
Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Se Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Shri Gangamai Ki Jai Shri Gangamai Ki Jai Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai The Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimha Dev Ki Jai. Iskandur Amarati Dham Ki Jai. Jai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Govinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. Sorry, Canto 2, Chapter 1. Entitled The First Step in God Realization. We'll be doing text number 8.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Aditavam Dvaparado Pitudvai Payanadaham Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Aditavan Dvaparado Pitudvai Payanadaham Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Aditavam Dvaparado Pitudvai Payanadaham.
Please chant.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Puranam Brahma Samhitam. Aditavan Vaparado. Pitudvai Payanadaham. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Aditavan Vaparado Pitudvai Payanadaham. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Aditavan Vaparado Pitudvai Payanadaham.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama
Puranam Brahma Samhitam Aditavan Dvaparado Pitudvai Payanadaham.
Vaishnavis.
Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Aditavam Dvaparado Pitudvai Payanadaham.
Word for word. Idam.
Thus.
Sorry, this. Bhagavatam.
Srimad
Bhagavatam.
Nama.
Of the name.
Puranam.
Vedic supplement.
Brahma Samhitam.
Approved as the essence of the Vedas.
Aditavan.
Study.
Dwapara
Ada. At the end of the Dwapara
Yuga.
Pituhu.
From my father.
Dwapayanat.
Dwapayan
Vyasadev.
Aham.
Myself. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. At the end of the Dwapara Yuga, I studied this supplement of Vedic literature, this great supplement of Vedic literature, named Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal to all the Vedas, from my father, Srila Dwapayan Vasudev. Purport. So what I'll do, I'll read through the purport and then we'll go back through it step by step to see how much I can cover today. So purport. The statement made by Srila Vyasadeva, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, that the topmost transcendentalist, who is beyond the jurisdiction of regulations and restrictions, mainly takes to the task of hearing about and glorifying the personality of Godhead, is verified by his personal example. Sukadeva Goswami, being a recognized liberated soul and the topmost transcendentalist, was accepted by all of the topmost sages present in the meeting during the last 7 days of Maharaj Pariksit. He cites from the example of his life that he himself was attracted by the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and he studied Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Sri Dwaipayan Vyasadeva. Srimad Bhagavatam, or for that matter, any other scientific literature, cannot be studied at home by one's own intellectual capacity. Medical books of anatomy or physiology are available in the market, but no one can become a qualified medical practitioner simply by reading such books at home. One has to be admitted to the medical college and study the books under the guidance of learned scholars. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the postgraduate study of the science of Godhead, can only be learned by studying it at the feet of a realized soul like Srila Vyasadeva. Although Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from the very day of his birth, he still had to take lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Vyasadeva, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam under the instruction of another great soul, Sri Narad Muni. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a learned Brahmana to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a personal Bhagavata. Srimad Bhagavatam is based on the transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, entourage, and variegatedness of the Supreme Person, and it is spoken by the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, Srila Vyasadeva. Pastimes of the Lord are executed in cooperation with his pure devotees, and consequently historical incidences are mentioned in this great literature because they are related to Krishna. It is called Brahma Samhitam because it is a sound representative of Lord Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is a sound incarnation of the Lord because it is spoken by the Supreme Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound representative of the Lord because it was spoken by the incarnation of the Lord about the activities of the Lord. As stated in the beginning of this book, it is the essence of the Vedic desire tree and the natural commentation on the Brahma Sutras, the topmost philosophical thesis on the subject matter of Brahman. Vyasadeva appeared at the end of Dwapar Yuga as the son of Satyavati, and therefore the word Dwapara Adav, or, quote, the beginning of Dwapar Yuga, unquote, in this context means just prior to the beginning of the Kali Yuga. The logic of this statement, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, is comparable to that of calling the upper portion of the tree the beginning. The root of the tree is the beginning of the tree, but in common knowledge, the upper portion of the tree is seen first. In that way, the end of the tree is accepted as its beginning. Om again to members again in Janashanaka, Chakshu and Tami and Tasman Shi Guru Guru. Imam Vishnu Padaya Krishna prescribed to Vishnu Shiva by Prabhu Janani. Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapat Pankajadarami Purupada Nubadaya Namashivabhava Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharini Vishesha Samyavadi Paschata Desha Dhani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shredoita Gavada Ashivasati Vola Bhakti Vrindata Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, from one perspective, this class was already given this morning from what Mother Mukhya read, as Mother Shyamapriya actually captured the essence of this force and purport today in our presentation this morning. So, then we'll try to add something to that also. So, I'll go through back the start back from the beginning and the first sentence. It says here that this statement made by Srila Sukadeva Goswami that the topmost transcendentalist who is beyond the jurisdiction of regulations and restrictions mainly takes to the task of hearing about and glorifying the personality of Godhead is verified by his personal example. So what Srila Prabhupada is talking about, he's taking us back two verses in verse number 6, where it describes that this is what great transcendentalists do. They take pleasure in relishing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. That's their topmost activity. And they, out of everything else, out of all the knowledge that is there within the Vedic canon, that they relish the highest, what is most important to them is the relishing of the transcendental activities of the Lord. So Sukadeva Goswami, being a recognized liberated soul and the topmost transcendentalist, was accepted by all of the topmost sages present in the meeting during the last 7 days of Maharaj Pariksit. He cites from the example of his life that he himself was attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. And he studied Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Srila Dwaipayan Vyasadeva. So, out of all literature, he studied Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of his father. So, why Srimad Bhagavatam? So, we'll try to backtrack and understand the concept from the Vedic point of view. So, in the Vedic school of thought, there are two aspects. One is called Astic and the other one is Nastic. So Astic is a school of thought that believes in the existence of God. And Nastic is a school of thought that does not believe in the existence of God. So from the Astic category, there are six schools of thought there. And these six are the... We have the Sankhya philosophy, which was propounded by Lord Kapiladev, which is described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we have the Nyaya, which is propounded by Gautama Rishi. So we have Nyaya, we also have Yoga by Patanjali. Then there is also the Kumara Mamsa philosophy, which was propounded by Jaimini, and this is what Krishna described in the 10th canto in the Govardhan Leela with Lord Indra, when Krishna was preaching and explaining to his father, so not to worship Lord Indra, that what's the need for you to particularly worship Lord Indra so you can get the rain and benefit for your crops? That Indra pours rain onto the ocean as well, the seas and oceans, and they don't worship him. So let's worship Govardhan Hill. So this philosophy is the Kumara or Purva Mamsa philosophy. Then there is also, I'm missing one between, lastly there is the Brahma Mimamsa philosophy, which is propounded by Srila Vyasadeva himself, which is Vedanta. So this Vedanta is the conclusion. So even though he presented the Vedanta Sutras, it was still not of utmost benefit to humanity. So within these six categories here, one of them was yoga also. So within these six categories are, they're all Vedic, but they're not necessarily Vedantic. So Vedic means it comes from the Vedic scriptures, but Vedantic is that Vedanta, anta means conclusion, that it doesn't necessarily give the proper conclusion, excepting for the Brahma Mamimsa philosophy, which Srila Vyasadeva expounded on. So within the category of Srila Vyasadeva's expounding, it's also called Nyaya, for Nyaya means logic. So by logic and reasoning, you can establish a point. So that's what Nyaya means. So within that Nyaya category, there are three categories. One is Shruti, the other one is Smriti, and then the last, again, the same word, Nyaya. So Shrutis are the literatures that have been spoken directly by the Lord, directly revealed, like the Bhagavad Gita, for example, spoken by the Lord. The Smritis have three categories: the Puranas, the Itihasas, and the Pancharatras. So the Puranas are like all the different Puranas that we know about. The Itihasas are like Vedic histories, like the Mahabharata, for example, the Ramayana, that tells about the activities and pastimes of certain personalities, like the Mahabharata tells about the personality, the activities of the Pandavas. The Ramayana tells about the personality of Lord Ram. So then the Pancharatras is the primarily deity worship, what Srila Prabhupada quoted so many times from the Narada Pancharatra. So then you have the Nyaya, which is pretty much a compilation of the same Smritis, what has been heard, but has been assimilated and reasoned well to bring one to the proper conclusion. So that is the work of Srila Vyasadeva. After compiling all these Vedic literatures, he still wasn't satisfied and something wasn't too right. Then his spiritual master Narad Muni instructed him to directly discuss the transcendental glories of the Lord. So that's when he described and he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the category of the Bhagavatam, that it's being discussed and assimilated and bring all the Vedic histories together and establish the proper conclusion. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaicha Sarvam Aham Eva Vedyo, that of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So Krishna is saying that directly, that's directly the Shruti, directly the words from Krishna's mouth. So any scripture that doesn't bring you to that conclusion, we should understand that something is wrong. So this is directly Krishna's words. So this is what the Bhagavatam does. And then, so this gives an overview as to, out of all scriptures, why did Sukadev Goswami study this particular literature? There is a family analogy of the Bhagavatam also is described, that sometimes a mother, she would instruct her child, she would give some instruction, but in very brief, because she has so many other duties to perform. But from that instruction, the older sister of this child would take that instruction and break it down and describe it so very clearly from give different angles of it so that the child can understand that instruction from the mother. I see it many times in our own home. Sometimes my older daughter would explain the same thing what my wife, just instruct my youngest child. And they would break it down in so many different ways. Even sometimes at our schoolwork, they would break it down in so many different ways so you can get an understanding from a variety of backgrounds. So this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is all about, that it's being described, it's being broken down from so many different ways to give the essence. But more and above that, Srila Prabhupada gave us something more. So to look at this, let's imagine that you have a pyramid, which is a triangle. The point is at the top and the broad ends at the bottom. And that triangle is divided in three parts, in three horizontal sections. The lower section is the Bhagavad Gita, the middle section is Srimad Bhagavatam, and the upper section is Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar of Devotion. So the lower section, the Bhagavad Gita, that section is considered Vedic. So the Bhagavad Gita is a Vedic scripture. And it's accepted widely by everyone who studies Vedic culture and studies the Vedic scriptures. The Bhagavad Gita is widely accepted. Not only is it accepted from people of Vedic thought, but even the world over. Like the Bhagavad Gita is accepted as one of the greatest transcendental masterpieces when it comes to philosophical thought and understanding. So it's accepted widely as a Vedic book. But above that, there is a Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada described in this purport as the postgraduate study of Vedic literature. So the Srimad Bhagavatam in that category is not only a Vedic book, but it is a Vaishnava book. So the difference is that Vaishnava means one who accepts the lordship of Lord Vishnu, who understands and worships Lord Vishnu. So it's that's the category where the Bhagavatam is in, as it's a Vaishnava literature. Think about maybe about 10 years ago, once I recall Shesha Prabhu gave a class and he mentioned that not everyone accepts the Srimad Bhagavatam as the topmost literature. So it's pretty much only the Vaishnavas or devotees of Lord Vishnu that accepts the Bhagavatam as the topmost transcendental literature. So above the Bhagavatam, you have the upper category of this pyramid is the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar of Devotion. And this category is called the Gaudiya Vaishnava category. So not only that the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar of Devotion are in the category of Vaishnavism, but it's in the category of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Just like one would be studying, like the other day I was watching one video clip, and there's this one person, he's a specialized scientist. So there are scientists in different categories, and he was a brain scientist. There's this one Indian man, when I look at him, he looks like one of these convenience store owners. But he's rated, the way he dressed and presented himself, but he's rated as the best brain scientist in the world today. So anyway, so there are different categories. So he specializes in this category. Similarly, there are different people, even in medicine, then there are different categories that one specializes. So similarly, in Vaishnavism, Srila Prabhupada give us this topmost speciality, and that is the direct connection and activities and worship of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the category of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Nectar of Devotion. So, coming up tomorrow is Gaur Purnima, so I just wanted to bring this to show that what is Lord Chaitanya's unique contribution to this Kali Yuga, that he gave this the peak of the Vaishnava culture, the Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have access to that today. And we were able to have the opportunity to participate in such a celebration as what's going to happen tomorrow. So, I just wanted to present that to see the category of where the Bhagavatam is and why Sukadeva Goswami, out of all literatures, why he had concentrated so much on that literature. So, going down here, the next part of the purport, it talks about Srila Prabhupada describes what is required for studying such a great book like the Srimad Bhagavatam, or anything spiritual for that matter. And he explains that just like there are many books, like in this example he gave on anatomy and physiology, that they are available in the marketplace. Anyone can pick them up and read it. And anyone can study them. But they cannot get the benefit, they cannot get qualified, they cannot get the necessary recognition unless they study under trained professors, unless they're accepted in the medical college. So similarly, with the Vedic scriptures, it's the same thing. That to get the essence of Vedic culture, to really understand and get the full benefit of the spiritual understanding, one has to go through the proper channel. So, the devotees distribute books all over, pretty much all over the planet. The same Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and so many other books. But the real benefit is not achieved unless one goes through the proper channel of understanding and studying under the great acharyas, like in this case Sukadeva Goswami cited his own example. What he did, he studied this great book under the auspices of his father, who is the none other than the incarnation of the Lord. At the same time, his father take the role of his guru as well, teaching him the Srimad Bhagavatam. And with all here, Srila Prabhupada described that Sukadeva Goswami was a pure devotee from the very day of his birth. He was a completely pure devotee. If you understood, it's a whole long story of the history of his birth and so forth, which we won't go into today. But it's such an intricate, such an auspicious circumstances that he took his appearance. And his appearance is totally transcendental. He's a pure devotee from birth, as described here. And yet, he studied through the right channel. He studied under the guidance of a spiritual master, a guru, in this case, his own father. And there are many examples throughout the Vedic culture. The same example is there over and over again. The Lord himself, Krishna himself, he studied under his guru, Sandipani Mun. Lord Chaitanya studied under his guru, Ishwara Puri. So even the Lord presented this example, and they practiced this, because this is the way to accept and understand spiritual knowledge. It's not only reading the books. Reading it, you can understand it philosophically, but to develop spiritually, to get the real benefit, to understand the Vedanta, to understand the conclusion, you won't have it without going through the proper channel. So Krishna also describes this in the 11th canto when he was describing the yoga process to Sri Uddhava, there's a very nice verse. I read it here the other day and I'd like to read it again. So this is Canto 11, Chapter 14, Verse 16. I'll just read it in English. So Krishna is speaking here to Uddhava, explaining how this process works of purification from this material world. So the verse is, with the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus, I always follow the footsteps of my pure devotees, who are free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, peaceful, without any feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. And the purport. Just as the devotees always follow the footsteps of Lord Krishna, similarly Lord Krishna, being a devotee of his devotees, follows the footsteps of his devotees. A pure servitor of the Lord is always meditating on the pastimes of the Lord and considering how to assist the Lord in his mission. All the material universes are situated in Krishna's body, as demonstrated to Arjuna, Mother Yashoda, and others. That this is when Arjuna was on the battlefield, he was shown the universal form. When Krishna was eating dirt, Mother Yashoda wanted to verify in his mouth, then she saw the entire universe. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore there is no question of impurity in the Lord. Still, the Lord desires to purify the universes situated within him by taking the dust of the lotus feet of his pure devotees. Without the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, it is not possible to engage in pure devotional service, without which one cannot directly experience transcendental bliss. Lord Krishna taught, I have established this strict rule that one can enjoy my transcendental bliss only through devotional service obtained from the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees. Since I also desire to experience my own bliss, I will observe the standard procedure and accept the dust of my devotees' feet. Srila Madhavacharya points out that Lord Krishna follows the footsteps of his devotees in order to purify them. As the Lord walks along behind his pure devotees, the wind blows the dust of the Lord's feet in front of his devotees, who then become purified by contact with such transcendental dust. One should not foolishly look for material logic in these transcendental pastimes of the Lord. It is simply a question of love between the Lord and his devotees. And so, this is a very nice narration of how transcendental knowledge is transmitted. It's not from only, it's not from our own absorption. It comes through the blessings of the Lord and his devotees. Okay. Krishna says in the Adi Puran, Yo me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta chate jana, mad bhaktanam chaye bhakta stene bhakta tamamata. Yeah, he mentioned to Arjuna that those who claim to be my devotees are actually not my devotees, but those who are the devotees of my pure devotees or my servant are factually my devotees. So, right there again, Krishna delineates this process of how it works. It comes through the blessings, comes through the mercy of other Vaishnavas, that's what purifies us. Srila Prabhupada also shown that in his own life, that before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, there is it Mother Mula Prakriti who wrote that book of Srila Prabhupada before he came? in his Grihastha days and his Vanaprastha. So before Srila Prabhupada came, Srila Prabhupada, as we all know, is a perfect scholar in the Vedic literatures. There is nothing short in his education. Still, before he came, he was there at the Radha-Damodar temple. And in the middle of the night, and 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, some other neighbors testified that they would hear this loud crying. And they, when they would peek through the window, they would see Bhaktivedanta Swami. He would be sweeping outside the Damodar temple in front of the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami and crying aloud and asking for their mercy so that he can spread this Krishna consciousness movement, so that he can help to purify others, so he can give to us. So with all he was duly qualified in every way, shape and form, he still practiced this principle of begging for the mercy of the devotees. Even when the Chaitanya Charitamrita was to be written, the author also, he begged for the mercy of all the devotees, of all the Goswamis. He was always praying for their blessings so that he can present things properly. So this is the essence of our culture, to always dependent on the mercy of the Lord, always dependent on the mercy of the devotees, which in according to what is described here is even greater than the mercy of the Lord. Because the Lord puts his devotees in front of him. And when we take that mercy, when we accept that, then that becomes the impetus for our spiritual advancement. So everything else being said, without the blessing, without the mercy, that doesn't, our spiritual advancement doesn't really come about. Yasya Devi Parabhakti Yata Devi Tataguru, that only by the mercy of the Lord and his pure devotees are the imports of the Vedic literatures revealed to us. So it's not a question of we absorbing it, it's a question of it being revealed. So for it to be revealed, we have to place ourselves in the position. Like one time Srila Prabhupada, he was walking around somewhere in California and they were circumambulating the temple. Well, it might not be California, but anyway. And whilst they were going around, himself and a few disciples, inside was Vishnu Janaswami. He was keeping a very sweet kirtan. So then one devotee turned to Prabhupada and said, oh Prabhupada, just see how much mercy you have given to Vishnu Janaswami. Then Prabhupada said, no, that's not the right way of seeing it. That my mercy is here with every one of you, but he took it. He placed himself in the shower so that he can get it, he can absorb. Like, if it's raining and we want to experience the rain, we can't keep locked under the shelter or locked in your home. We have to come out. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness, that with all of everything that what we learn, everything that what we're learning here philosophically and practically, for us to absorb it, we have to always pray at the lotus feet of all the devotees. And all the senior Vaishnavas, the Guru. So Krishna also says that in Bhagavad Gita, 4:34. Tad vidipani patrena paripachnana shevaya upadek yanti te gyanam gyanina sata darshana. So just learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. And how do we approach a spiritual master? By serving and worshipping him. Not just approach, well, okay, I want this, I want that. Like the way Hiranyakashipu approached Lord Rama. You know, he was wrapped in meditation when Lord Rama appeared. He said, oh, I want you to make me immortal. I want you to make me invincible. I want you to make me deathless. No, that's not the way. That's not the way of the devotee. So the way of the devotee is service, and Krishna knows the heart, Krishna knows what is required, and he would give. The devotees know what is required, the guru knows what is required. And by service and sincerity, then the guru automatically infuses that potency within the disciple. The devotees automatically infuse, that blessing is automatically there. So this is the process is not only by studying the books, but we have to get it, do it under guidance. Like sometimes if you go to the college, you'd find there are some students might be in the background. They are in the back. They are not students, but they just come to observe. And they may stay through the entire course. It's like the last class I was in, there were a couple persons at the back. But at the end, they did not graduate. They did not get a certificate. Because they weren't officially enrolled, they were just observing. So similarly with students at the college, if you're just observing, you would learn something. You might even get quite a variety of knowledge, maybe everything, but you would not be authorized. It would not become authentic for you unless you're enrolled, unless you're accepted into the proper school. So anyway, there are a lot more here in this purport, but time is running out, so we'll stop here. Are there any comments, questions, corrections on these thoughts? So, anyway, seeing that there is nothing, so we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.